On January 20th, over 230 people were indiscriminately attacked, kettled, and mass arrested by Metropolitan Police during an anti-capitalist and anti-fascist march held in opposition to Trump's ascension to power. After being held on the streets for the majority of the winter day without access to medical treatment, bathrooms, food, or water, those arrested, including journalists, medics, and legal observers, were all charged with the same 8 blanket felony charges, and in some cases, even more. After months of solidarity and countless hearings, a couple of the charges have been reduced or dropped. But the government continues to stubbornly pursue the prosecution of almost 200 people, most of them still facing at least 6 felony charges and up to 60 years in prison. Most of the prosecution's case is premised on criminalizing common protest practices, such as wearing the same clothing, chanting, presence of medics and legal observers, and meeting at a predetermined location for a publicly announced march. Despite this, U.S. Attorney Liu, a member of Trump's transition team, is still pursuing these charges in order to deliver a broad blow to dissent everywhere, as well as to avoid scrutiny of the widely condemned, violent, and excessive police behavior during the inauguration that even children, the elderly, and disabled people were not safe from. While the officers that hurt people that day have yet to face any repercussions, our charges are getting underway. And here's what's been happening.
Trial began Monday, November 20th, for 6 of the 194 protesters, journalists, medics, and legal observers arrested while protesting Trump's inauguration on January 20th, who are still facing charges. The defendants for this trial include a journalist and 2 defendants identified as medics, among others, who were kettled by the police on Inauguration Day. The lead prosecutor, Kirchhoff, started the trial with her opening arguments. These arguments focused on criminalizing typical protest items and actions, including wearing similar clothing, arriving at a predetermined location for a public march, chanting, and covering faces with masks, goggles, and/or gas masks. Kirchhoff admitted that the state does not have any evidence to prove that any of these 6 defendants are themselves guilty of any acts of property destruction. Even so, Kirchhoff has pursued these politically motivated charges in order to crush dissent and pave the way for similar prosecutions to be used against protesters anywhere. Some of the outlandish claims Kirchhoff made during her opening arguments include asserting that a livestream video recorded by one defendant who is a journalist amounted to quote-unquote PR or public relations for the alleged riot. Another outlandish claim that the presence of medics is nefarious and implies a conspiracy, despite the clear evidence that medics attend to the safety of marchers. In addition, Kirchhoff argued that the arrest of defendants shows that they were in on the alleged conspiracy because they could have left the march but chose not to, not stopping at these blatant attacks on protest. Kirchhoff also focused on crafting a narrative that paints protesters as a, quote, sea of black masks, end quote, that overpowered, quote-unquote, helpless police. As expected and desired, the defense attorney's opening arguments attacked some key claims and premises that Kirchhoff relied on in her opening arguments. All of the attorneys stressed that one of the main problems with this case is that there is no evidence to substantiate the charges of property destruction against the defendants. Some of them played audio and video that showed how cops decided to arrest everyone almost as soon as the march began. This video was in direct contrast to Kirchhoff's claims that the cops were struggling to keep up with the march and were helpless in the situation, and that they did not interfere with the march until there was property damage. Some of the attorneys also showed footage of the cops attacking protesters with chemical weapons, batons, and projectile weapons, such as stinger grenades. This footage directly called into question Kirchhoff's argument that the police exercised restraint that day and were outnumbered and helpless. Notably, many of the defense attorneys introduced a key element that Kirchhoff has said the case wasn't about at all, the political nature of the march. To illustrate that this case is really exactly about politics, the defense attorneys showed photos and video of the march while highlighting the presence of banners, flags, and political statements. The attorney for the journalist on trial further highlighted how the charges against this defendant are an attack on the freedom of the press, which is supposedly a principle and value that this government holds dear. This attorney stressed that the government finding certain statements or views disagreeable, such as those of them in the live stream of the journalist, does not make them criminal. Finally, the attorneys for the two defendants alleged to be street medics challenged the idea that being a medic is a nefarious thing. Rather, these attorneys stressed that medics provide necessary care to people at protests for any number of reasons, including police deploying chemical and other weapons. After opening arguments, two witnesses took the stand to testify as witnesses for the state. The first witness was the manager of a cafe, Obon Pong, where windows were broken on J-20. The second witness was a bike cop who was there on J-20. That officer's testimony will continue Tuesday, and more of the 25 to 40 cops who the prosecutor has said she will call as witnesses will also begin to take the stand. After Tuesday, the trial will take a break for the remainder of the week and will continue next Monday, November 27th. A notable success in the events of the day was that supporters packed the courtroom in solidarity with the defendants. The courthouse was so full that the overflow room had to be used. Let's make sure that every day of trial has just as much support as this first day. In the meantime, you can support J-20 defendants by joining the call-in campaign on Tuesday the 21st. Call U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu at 202-252-7566 and D.C. Mayor Bowser at 202-727-6263 to demand that charges be dropped. For more details and an online petition to drop the charges, visit defendj20resistance.org/dropj20. Again, call U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu, that's L-I-U, at 202-252-7566, and D.C. Mayor Bowser at 202-727-6263. More information at defendj20resistance.org/dropj20.
Whatever happens in these trials will surely set precedent for future resistance. Trump has wasted no time attacking and violently disrupting vulnerable communities. Trump's attacks on political opponents and foreign leaders are echoed by his increasing attacks on communities of color, Muslims, immigrants, queer and trans people, women, and the poor. And this is only the beginning of his presidency. Resistance will only become more necessary in the future, and we must do everything we can to protect our ability to defend ourselves. Your freedom and future are at stake in this as well. Get informed. Go to the website at www.defendj20resistance.org to get further details on the case and updates as they come out. Spread the word. A lot of people don't know about the case or understand how it's relevant to them. Talk to people about the case and follow at defendj20 on Twitter and at defendj20resistance on Facebook for articles and updates you can share with others. Fundraise and donate. Many defendants do not live in DC and have to travel long distances to attend mandatory court dates. Every little bit you can donate goes directly towards supporting defendants and fighting for their freedom. Host a fundraiser or ask people you know to donate. Take action. Check out our website for details on petitions, ongoing campaigns, and other ways you can directly help support J20 defendants. But most importantly, keep resisting. Join us in continuing to condemn Trump, the threat that he poses to the entire world, and all of the violent behavior and bigotry he perpetuates and encourages.